God bless you and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Father, has called the church to three commands. And in those three commands, all of the scriptures are summed up: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we are continuing in that endeavor. How many of you are working at that every day? Amen. That is something I never stop doing, because what I'm called to: love God, love others, and go. And in that today is where we're going to go here in our third sermon in the sermon series, seven things we must let go of if we are to live abundantly. And today we're going to be looking at superiority and self-importance. I want you to think about our world today. Many of us today see just where things are, and I think there are more people waking up to the realities that we're seeing around us, because we've been deceived for years. We've been taught away, and as we see this thing culminating, and not just in the United States, you know, it's one of the bad things, and I do have to say this, it is one of the bad things about living in a particular country. You don't really see what's happening in the rest of the world. Why is that? Even though we've got one small world, it's a huge place to us because we live in the United States. Well, I don't live in the United States. I live in Pennsylvania. I don't live in Pennsylvania. I live in Lebanon. I don't live in just Lebanon County. I live in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I don't just live in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I live at 1650 Parkway Drive. Yes, I just told the entire world my address. I don't care, because they are not going to find me. Okay? Yeah, Miss Eva's like, yeah, watch. Hey, praise the Lord if you do. All right? Because the reality is, that's how minutely we look at things. We bring it into this little place where we are, and we don't see what's really happening out there because, well, those things don't affect me. They do affect us. In fact, they affect us greatly, because we are more connected now than we have ever been connected in all of history. Okay? I want you to think about this as we start looking at this idea of self-importance and superiority. When Egypt was dealing with Moses and they were getting ready to leave and go out and become their own country, their own nation for the first time, was the rest of the world aware of what was happening there in Egypt? I mean, it was a big thing. When we read it in the Bible, it's like, oh my goodness, look at all these plagues that came on the land and blah, 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 blah. You know, finally, ultimately, it destroyed Egypt. Do you think the people in Britannia, because remember, it wasn't called England back then, it was Britannia. Do you think the people in Britannia had any idea what was happening in Egypt? Absolutely not. So when we think about our world and we begin to understand that, you know what, I can find out what's happening in Brazil like that because of the internet. I can find out what's happening in China. I can find out what's happening in Mexico. I can find out how many of us are more aware today of world things than we've ever been aware of before. Because we're realizing now that we are so connected that all of a sudden we begin to see ourselves as more than what we've been previously. Because I'm more aware. Well, being more aware also comes with a contradiction. Because in this world, the more you're aware of, the more you think you know, the more evil can actually weigh on you. Okay? It's something that we need to understand. When we look out at this world and all of these people that are following this way, this thought that is running our world today, look how far it has gone. It has progressed from the United States into Europe, into Africa, into. So we can see how one little thing is able to affect everything so much quicker now than it did millennia ago. So today I want us to think about just how far has superiority in our world come, and self-importance. Because in the day, and I'm talking about this day, It's one of the most important things that we have to deal with. We need to understand that we are not more than, but that we are equal to. Okay? I want you to think about the cross of Calvary. The Lord showed me this many years ago. There's two pieces of wood. One leads up, and the other spreads out. Okay? You have the upright on the cross, and then you have the arms. Which is the most important of those two? The upright. Because without the upright, the lateral will not stand. But how many of us make the lateral the most important thing? Because it's what we can see and what we can do. Because this is us. This is God. And if this isn't here, this goes nowhere. It can't stand. So today, I want us to understand we need to get rid of this and get plugged into this. And that is Jesus Christ. He is that bridge between earth and heaven. So today, let us turn to the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come before you this day because there's a word here that needs to go out to the church. Because Lord, yes, this is a word for the church. Because we need to understand who we are and whose we are. So, Father, I pray that you would use my tongue, use all that I am to reach your people. Hide Rich behind the cross, and may you speak through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for all of the hearers that their ears would be attuned by the Holy Spirit to receive from you your word, not mine, your word. That in your word, Lord, we have life and life abundantly. Because your word is the only word of life. So may we attune our hearts to it. May we tune our hearts to you. Because in doing so, they become one as we are to become one. Bless now the hearing of your word in Christ Jesus. And the church says, and amen. Turn in your Bibles to the book of John in the fourth chapter. To the book of John in the fourth chapter. We're going to begin in verse 5. We're going to begin in verse 5 in chapter 4. Verse 5 in chapter 4 from the book of John. So he, Jesus, came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and your people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came, and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why do you speak with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? And Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that are they white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into that labor. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 more days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. After 2 days, he went forth from there to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, in the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply do not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. Today I want us to think about what Jesus is doing here. I'm talking about letting go of superiority, letting go of self-importance. I want us all to understand and realize Jesus did not hold to the socio-political views of his day, and for good reason. Here Jesus is, he's in Samaria, which is a place where the Jews did not want to find themselves because they were against the Samaritans. They did not like the Samaritans. They called the Samaritans dogs because of the way they lived and how they interbred outside of Israel. They took for wives others from the nations. And they did not come to Jerusalem to worship, but they worshiped at the mountain there, because the Jews were told there's only one place where the name of God dwells. And however, these Jews didn't come. So there was much separation for years and years and years. And I want you to think, who is speaking here? Who is bringing this word? And we need to understand that this Samaritan woman was the epitome of the bottom. Remember, he came to the Jews first. The Samaritans were an offshoot of the Jews, kind of a sect, if you would. They were the less desirables. Why? Because the people in Judea saw themselves as the betters. But yet, here Jesus not only speaks to this woman, but he brings many of them into the kingdom. So how is it today that we find ourselves being allured through all this socio-political stuff, and we ourselves find ourselves, and I'm talking to Christians today, we think of ourselves as better than the rest of the people out there in the world. That is not the case. That is not the true case of a true Christian. A true Christian submits themselves, one another, to Christ, and in that reality then submits themselves to others. What is our command? Love God, love others, and go. And it's understanding that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us here. Because you see, I am not superior. I am an equal to every person in this room. Wait a minute, but you're pastor. You're the one here teaching. You're the one that's supposed to be responsible. Whoa, you just said two different things, okay? Two different things. What did I just say? My authority as a pastor can be usurped. My responsibility to Christ can never be usurped. And that's the rub. We look at authority today because authority has been given to us. We're the people of Christ, and we clout it about that we're better than these sinners. Excuse me, aren't we all sinners saved by grace? It's understanding that, you know, even as a pastor, I've got to come down off this high and lofty stance to walk on solid ground. My life's not lived up there. My life's lived down here, just where everybody else lives. And that's what we all need to remember. The only one who was lifted up is Jesus Christ, not us. Jesus Christ was lifted up that we may all be seen as equal. Okay? Jesus didn't stand on the cross like this. Jesus hung on the cross like this. And his arms were outspread, covering all of us. Everyone. Now I got to climb back up. And how many times do we do that, brothers and sisters? We get down there for a little while, but then we climb right back up, don't we? And that's what I want us to remember. Jesus didn't climb back up. Jesus stayed down where he was. But we also need to remember who he is, because he is very God. You know, folks have said, well, Jesus never said he was the Son of God. He never said he was God. Didn't he just say that here? I who speak to you am he. We know the Messiah is going to come. Who is the Messiah? He is the one from God, which means he is God. He is from God. Okay? He is God. And Jesus here plainly says it to all of us. And we need to understand, if that is true, and we all know it to be, and if he is our example, is he not the fullness of God in the flesh? Is he not the fullness of God's image in the flesh? And is that not what we are supposed to be, the image of God in our world? Then that's the vision that we all need to hang our hats on. That is the way we need to live our lives, is in the manner that Jesus Christ lived. When I think of this world and where we are, Jesus, when we think about his socio-political activities in the world, how many times did he eat with sinners and get scoffed at by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all the religious leaders? And he had such wonderful words for those people too, didn't he? No, he scorned them at every chance. Not because he wanted to, but because he had to. Because of the way they were living. They thought of themselves as better than. The commandments came, and they were using the commandments so they wouldn't have to help their family. Oh, but I, you know, this is dedicated unto the Lord, so I can't give it to you. That was wrong. And how many of us live such a manner that you know, as Christians, and again, we're looking at Lent here and the things we need to let go of. Self-importance. And I want you to think about that in your own households. You know, I think it's funny, and you know, I say that ha-ha funny because I do think it's ha-ha funny. How many husbands and wives are in competition? If you can do this, I can do it better. Okay? And I laugh because there are some couples, and you all know what I'm talking about. Some of you do it. Okay? Others of you watch it and you chuckle too. Because it's like, you know, oh man, have you ever seen it? Man, I love the way they back and forth with each other. And it's, for some, it's part of how they love one another. Isn't that the truth? You know, I can think of several couples right now, but I won't name names. But it's so amazing to me because it's that struggle back and forth. And where does that struggle come from? It comes all the way from Genesis in the very beginning. Adam was given headship, but who was the one Satan tempted? Eve. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Because did she go back to Adam and say, hey, clarify this for me? No, she didn't. But then secondly, I want you to think about it too, because Adam, who was there in the garden with her when they were tempted, was right there. Should he have stepped up and taken the superiority? Okay? This is a double-edged sword. The word is a double-edged sword, dividing unto the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And it's understanding that Jesus here has to walk this line. You and I have to walk this line where when we look at our superiority, we understand that there's something we can't go under, but we also can't go over. I am not better than, but I will not allow you in my presence to come down below. Does that make sense? Because we have superiority over evil, but we do not have superiority over one another. Because in one another, we are equal. You have as much responsibility as I do. Though our responsibilities may be different, we still have as much responsibility one to another. And that is to the furtherment of the kingdom and to the furtherment of the kingdom within each and every one of us. So today, I want to speak to you and simply let you know that you know, here Christ is, God incarnate. Did he think himself equal with God? Not while he was here, but he's coming back and he's going to be equal with God when he comes back. That day is coming, and that's what everybody forgets because we think, no, wait a minute, the first time he came, he lowered himself. When he comes back the next time, he isn't lowering himself. He is holding equality with God, and we are going to have to raise up. How many of you are ready for that? I'm ready for that. I'm working towards that goal. That is the transformation that has to happen within me. But at the same time, and guys, can you see how today with our Bible study, this ties in with our authority and how we have to walk in Christ Jesus, knowing that we're here to serve others and to raise others up? You know, isn't it amazing how God puts the sermons in our Bible studies together? Ladies, what were you studying today? I have no idea. I'll find out when I get home because my wife and I'll talk. I can't wait to see how God tied this whole topic into what you were studying this morning because that's our God. Can I get an amen? But when we understand that God incarnate, he was sent by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit. He submitted himself in every way that we should be submitted. And his authority ruled to the point that we now have life from death. Can I get an amen? Do you understand what that means for you and I? that if we truly submit ourselves, get rid of the self-importance, get rid of the superiority complex, and submit ourselves to God, we will see our brothers and sisters as the same place we were. The only difference is we are now on the other side, and we get to look back and bring others with us. We have to raise them up to get them to that place. And that's the only way we're going to live properly and holy. I want us to think about how our society draws all these artificial lines everywhere. Think about this. How many people out there want us to call them by their pronouns? Okay, they, them. I don't know the rest of them. I'm not even going to try. Okay? Well, Pastor, how do you deal with something like that? You deal with something like that the same way Jesus dealt with it. I will call you by your name. If you're a man and you tell me your name's Mary, don't expect me to call you her, she, her. Okay? I'll call you Mary because that's just a name. But I am not going to respect your pronouns. Number one, we don't talk in the third person. I'm going to address you as you are, a you. But isn't that being disrespectful? That's thinking of yourself more superior. No, it is not. What did Jesus say to the woman in Samaria? He said that you will not just worship me on this mountain, or you will not worship me in just Jerusalem, but you're going to worship me in spirit and in truth. How can we gather in churches on Sunday if that's not the truth? Because we come in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit and the truth. Can I get an amen, church? So it's understanding that when we come in the Spirit and in the truth and we rebuke someone, we're simply raising their level to get them where they need to be. Because they have allowed someone else authority over their lives to believe a lie that gets them to separate from God. Because if you deny God's reality in your life, saying you're a man when you're actually a woman, or saying you're a woman when you're actually a man, can you see how this may not go so well on YouTube today? We need to understand you're coming against God's authority. You're coming against God's truth. And we have to worship in spirit and in truth. And our lives are to be an act of worship. Can I get an amen? That's Romans 12. Am I right? Our lives are to be an act of worship. So when we understand what we're talking about here, it's not the superiority of me. It's the superiority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because that's what we hold to. Our superiority comes from the authority of the Word. The Word is the authority in our lives for life. And in this authority we stand, but we come under it. Okay? That means we come under it. We listen to it. We adhere to it. We hold to it. And we move in it and have our being. And that's exactly what Jesus did. That woman at the well, Jesus could have lost all his authority by simply speaking to her. And here the disciples are, and they're wondering what's going on. And what did Jesus say? Don't you realize the fields are white unto harvest? Does anybody understand what that means? How many of you have ever heard the teaching on that? Yeah, Brother Bob, I know he has because I sat under him and he's taught it. The Samaritans wore white clothing. That was one of the ways you could tell them. I'm going to trip over the boards. That was one of the ways you could tell the Samaritans from some of the others. They would wear white clothing. So when they were looking, they're standing there at the well and they're looking. Here they come pouring out of the city, and all these people wearing white were coming out of the city. It was white unto the harvest. All Jesus did was speak a word of truth. He lowered himself, he submitted himself and spoke to a Samaritan, not just a Samaritan, but a Samaritan woman. And who was glorified? God. And people came to repentance. People came to a believing faith. You and I are to live our lives in such a way as to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you have to, say something. I think I said that this morning, didn't I, Brother John? Yeah, I did. Because it's the truth. It's who we are. It's who we are to be. Jesus Christ tells us that we need to get rid of all this self-important stuff. Because without Him, we are nothing. And is that not a person who throws away their gender identity? Is that not exactly what they have done? They have thrown away who they really are in God's presence. They have disassociated themselves from God in such a way as to be completely and totally unredeemable. We need to raise them back up and get them to the point of understanding you are redeemable. You are loved. God has made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I get an amen? And that does not mean in your mind. That means in your physical being. And we've got to get people out of their mind because they're already out of their mind. And we've got to get them back into the mind of Christ. Can I get an amen? This is where we are. The evil one has left us believe a lie of self-importance, that it's all about me, what I want, what I think, when we realize and know that it's about what God thinks. It's about who God says we are and our submitting to Him. Can I get an amen? You know, I want you to think about where we are as a society and where this thing's going to end up. You know, I think about all these artificial means that they have literally divided us by. I mean, we not only have, you know, I can remember growing up, I was born in 1962, so I don't remember the 1960s and the race wars, okay? That was before me. But I can remember growing up in the 70s, because that's when I was a kid. That was, you know, I was a 70s kid. And I can remember that, you know, man, we had so much wonderful time. You could go anywhere, do anything, and it was great. And there was no differentiation of peoples. We had dark-skinned people living in our community. We had light-skinned people living in our community. We had yellow-skinned people living in our community. And I'll guarantee you right now, we loved them all. It wasn't until we got older that we realized, whoa, wait a minute, you know, those people were different. Because the world taught us that they were different. But you ever notice how the kids, they're not? I saw a TikTok the other day. I don't know if it was a TikTok or a YouTube short or whatever it was. This mother was in tears. She said, my son came home and he was telling me about his twin brother. He has a twin brother in school. They look alike. This little boy's like, man, we look so much alike and we do everything the same and we're so like one another and you won't believe it, Mom, he's my identical twin. And so they arranged a play date because Mom wanted to meet this young man, okay? And they go over to this seven-year-old's house and guess what? The little boy that was saying he had a twin, he was white. The little boy whose house they went to, he was black. And both mothers had no idea. And both mothers started to cry. Because here these kids are showing us the way. Because they're closer to the truth. And they're closer to the life because they live in innocence. It's only when we get into the world that the world deceives us, lies to us. We begin to believe those lies and then perpetuate them within ourselves. Because the world wants us to think you are all important. God says He is all, in all. And when we submit ourselves to that, all of a sudden we have self-importance because we become once again a child of God. We once again become the heir to the image of God. We once again become that prince, that princess, that one on whom God's love will be lavished. Pastor, how do you know that to be true? Can you honestly say that if I give up my self-control, if I give up, or my self-importance, and I give up my superiority, because to do that, people are going to beat me up. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, For Jesus to step down from heaven cost him everything. And he's our image. Are we not to be like him? That does not mean we become less. It truly means we become more in God's eyes and through eternity. Turn in your Bibles. It's our last scripture for today. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Two little scriptures here today. Well, the first one wasn't little, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Teaching through Lent can be a tough thing, especially when we're talking about letting go of things and submitting ourselves to the Word, because it can come as a downer. But I want you to see here the truth of what I said. I've told you, every week I'm going to show you a blessing. Every week I'm going to show you that when we do these things that the Lord has shown us through His life, through the Word of God, these things are throughout the Scriptures, beginning to end. All these things that we're going to talk about during these 7 weeks, they're the prerequisites that God has laid out for us. We have to choose them, and if we do, we will have life abundantly. Verse or chapter 9, verse 19. Chapter 9, verse 19. For though I am free from all men, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know? Excuse me, I got to make. Oh, that's where I'm stopping at, verse 23. Look at verse 23. I want you to see what we just read there, but I want you to look at verse 23. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. In other words, that I may receive the blessings of the gospel. What are the blessings of the gospel? To be a child of God, to be an heir to the King, to be one who is saved, and to have life eternal. And brothers and sisters, we can experience that now on this side of the grave, because all the promises of the Scripture are wrapped up in the gospel. Is that not truth? And when you and I understand what Jesus is, or what Paul is saying here, he says there is no Greek, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no men, there are no women, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, there are going to be those who are going to say to me, well, now see there, there's room for that he, she, him, her, they, them stuff. No, it's not. Jesus is telling us, get rid of self. Get rid of the self. Because when you get rid of the self and you begin to see things on this level because of this righteousness, and it only comes from one, you and I can begin to see each other clearly and plainly for who we really are and who we aren't. God is the great equalizer. And when we understand that, He brings us into eternal life here and now. Are there blessings in eternal life lived on this side of the grave? Yes, because we have joy, peace, love, patience, kindness, gentleness that are called the fruits of the Spirit. How many of us live in the fruits of the Spirit? Until we become self-important, then all of a sudden there is no more peace, there is no more gentleness, there is no more, there is no more, there is no more. Do you see how that superiority and self-importance strips us from the blessings of God? So too, when we think back and we think on the first and the second things that we are to look forward to, that we are to yield to God all things, and that our expectations are to be lowered for everyone, and we are to anticipate God in all that we are. Don't expect God to do something. Anticipate God doing something, and then let Him do what He wants to do. Amen? So too, we must strip ourselves of the superiority that each and every one of us try to walk in, and the self-importance, and remember that we are to consider others our equals. Next week, we're going to look at enemies. How many of you are ready for that one? What? I got to let go of my enemies? Yeah, I love the looks I'm getting here right now. It's a tough one, isn't it? Next week, we're going to try to do just that. Because I'll tell you right now, our enemies actually have more control over us than we have over them. Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before You in the love of Jesus Christ. For Lord God, we know You are God, and You stepped down from heaven, leaving behind Your glory to become just as one of us. And so too, Lord, may we raise up, letting go of our superiority and self-importance, and may we bow to You wholly and in holy hearts. Lord, bless Your children that we may walk with You, letting go of the things we need to let go of and holding fast to You who is our hope and in whose name we pray. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.